Hello, everyone. Well, France is gripped by a political crisis, as has been many times in its history. In the 20th century, France changed prime minister over 100 times. You know, sometimes in the 1930s, it was four prime ministers a year. If you ask the average Frenchman or Frenchwoman who's the PM, or ministre, or was it président du Conseil, or the président de la République, he or she wouldn't have known. Now, it's not been so bad. This is the Fifth Republic. In 1958, but it's a difficult moment now. Emmanuel Macron is coming towards the end of his second presidential term. And of course, he's barred from seeking a third by the Constitution. So May 2027, he should have to stand down a relatively young ex-president. I think the youngest there's ever been, actually. So the country is convulsed by strikes, by political difficulties. Macron, he can appoint and dismiss the prime minister, but he must appoint a prime minister who holds the confidence of l'Assemblée nationale. And there's only one woman who's held that office, actually, Edith Cresson, 1992 to 93, rumoured to have been sometime mistress of François Mitterrand, the then socialist president. So Macron is there, a former socialist himself, who's got La France en marche, like France on the move. That's his political party, sort of founded out of nowhere in about 2016 to win the presidential election, to win the legislative elections. But, you know, the wheels have come off somewhat. A bit odd he was managed to disclaim the socialist inheritance, since he had been finance minister of a socialist government only a few years earlier. So the trades unions are flexing their muscles as usual. France, the land of workers' rights, and there is a good side to that. But like going on strike seems to be the national sport. So, yeah, he called that early election in July 2024, which didn't go well for him. And it strengthened the far left, the hard right, and so on. And it's very difficult to get a budget passed. They have to compromise so much. France has got these systemic problems, and they're not being tackled. You know, things like, who was it? Nicolas Sarkozy, he said retirement age of 60 is too high. We're going to raise it to 62. The next president, François Hollande, vowed he would bring it back down to 60. He fulfilled that election pledge, but that saves up more economic problems for later. So France has gone to one of the lowest retirement ages in the Western world. And obviously, one of the great things about France, got marvelous health, get a long life expectancy. That's what red wine will do for you. They've got long holidays, short hours, less stress at work, brilliant public transport. They've got real quality of life, but there's a cost to that economically. And so all countries, you know, advanced Western countries have got this demographic time bomb to do with pensions. And France has got it almost worse than anywhere else. Got very high national debt. There's been a need to raise defense spending because of the renewed threat from Russia. And actually, France has been rather ungenerous in what it's donated to Ukraine. France, a very similar population and economy size to the United Kingdom, has given about a fifth of what the UK has given, and so on. So the national debt this year is going to be over 67 billion euros, as in additional to what it was before, right? Say people say that by 2030 it's going to be 100, going up by 100 billion euros a year. So France's credit ratings down, according to Fitch. So it's more difficult to borrow. It's going to cost them more to borrow, and so on. Is France going to have to ask for the European Central Bank to give it more money, credit, or the International Monetary Fund to give it a bailout or something like that? So anyway, they've been living beyond their means. They're going to have to live less well. It's a crisis of entitlements, the kind of thing that led to the French Revolution. I know we're in a very, very different situation. It's not exactly laissez-le manger de la brioche. People are not starving. People have got used to whatever these fairly high wages, although the taxes are very high, to generous benefits and so on. And that's unaffordable. The other thing about the retirement age at 60 is people were physically wrecked when they set that retirement age over a century ago, because they've been farm laborers, they've been factory workers, miners, shipbuilders, working on the railways, physically demanding jobs. We can often work sitting at a desk these days, so it's not so physically tough. They were all chain smokers back in the old days. So, you know, we're physically able of working much later. The Danes are right. Retirement age is going to have to go up to 70. And of course, I'd like a retirement age earlier and so on. But, you know, we've got this idea that pension is not just to keep you alive when you're incapable of working. No. It's so you can enjoy 20 or so years relaxing, doing fun stuff, time with the grandchildren. And that's not how it was originally envisaged. Remember, when 60 was set as a retirement age, that was beyond life expectancy. Most people paid into a pension scheme and never claimed a centime. So it'd be like having a retirement age of 85 these days. Anyways, it's unaffordable. So there's only 18 years to go of the Macron administration. So the huge demonstrations, the country could be paralyzed by powerful trades unions. So he had to get rid of one prime minister and appoint another one. So that's why all these seats in the National Assembly, Rassemblement National and some of its confederates got 138 seats. That's the hardline right-wing party. Is a right-wing even the word? Nationalistic, anti-immigration, not necessarily for leaving the European Union. Ensemble, one of the left-wing parties, 91. France Insoumise, like France unsubmissive. That's a far-left party, 71. The Socialist Party and its minor allies, about 66. To think the Socialist Party was one of the duopoly for decades. Okay, Les Républicains, which is a centre-right party, 49. The Greens, they're not just ecologists, they're far left, 38. Les Démocrates, a centrist party, 36, and so on. Horizon, and so independents, there are various other people, there's Lyot, 23. So notably, the middle of the road people are the weakest because they don't have clarity. They don't have easily understandable policies. So anyway, they got rid of the previous prime minister, a young man, the first openly gay prime minister. Michel Barnier, who was their Brexit negotiator, he was prime minister, only lasted a few months. He was a real veteran of politics, been in public office for over half a century. François Bayrou, he didn't last very long. He's quite of an old guy. So what are they going to do? Because the deficit is just too high. He had but ways to cut payments by 44 billion euros. That was too unpopular. He said, let's get rid of two national holidays. That didn't work. Okay. So anyway, you've got Sébastien Lecornu, who's now as prime minister. He's only 39 years old. So his name is being undemonstrative, emotionally restrained. He comes from Normandy, the same as Emmanuel Macron. I don't know, that's why Macron has appointed him, and so on. Okay, so just because he's the best person for the job, it's not that he's going to particularly serve Macron. Macron doesn't have that much longer to go in office anyway. So how on earth is he going to get a budget passed within about 3 weeks that's going to cut public spending? And any spending cut is going to be unpopular to raise taxation on the very wealthy. Maybe a 2% wealth tax on property over 100 million euros. One of France's richest men say that will eviscerate the economy. I don't think so. There's all this bleating from the super rich. Oh, it'll absolutely ruin us. And okay, some wealthy people will leave the country. So I know you don't want to kill the goose that lays the golden egg, but there are good things. Inflation is not too high. Unemployment is not that high. There is some economic growth. It has been worse. But goodness, but people are not going to like it, but the public sector is not going to like it. They've got a relatively high number of farmers for such an advanced economy. They think that being a peasant is a proud thing. I mean, so-called peasant, just small farmer. They have their small holding. A lot of French urbanites like to have country cousins and go back to the tiny farm to reconnect with the soil, that visceral connection. So big subsidies for them. That's the common agricultural policy for you. So this is some of the problem, is that they just put off the difficult decisions. And that's the problem with democracy, is short-termism, is have to think of the next 5 years, say, we're going to do the right thing. Yes, unpopular. Yes, painful. But the dividend will be in 50 years after someone's political career is finished, after that person's indeed dead. And people are not willing to bite the bullet. People want, they want, what is the phrase, bread today. Delayed gratification doesn't really work in politics. And of course, your opponents will opportunistically attack you for doing the morally right thing, for ruling with wisdom and foresight, even if they know that's the correct policy. That's electorally disadvantageous. So that's the trouble with democracy, is we reward mendacity and demagoguery. What is the solution to France's problem as well? I can't come up with that extemporaneously. Clearly, got to be some austerity, some tax rises. What combination, I really don't know, but they can't go on the way they're doing now. And so constantly been kicking the can down the road, even though they know the problem is getting even bigger. So sadly, democracy rewards cowardice and penalizes valor. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then any PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.